Our subject is death is swallowed up in victory. I mean, how could you beat that? As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not afraid of death. We believe absolutely in the resurrection from the dead, of our physical bodies. We believe what the Bible teaches, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We believe that. We Christians are not afraid of death, but let's face it, many of us are afraid of dying, of the process which brings us to death. Amen? That's what it is. And I believe that there's really only one thing that can prepare us for the process of dying, and that is understanding as well as believing what the Bible teaches about our physical death and what it actually accomplishes. According to the Bible, our death is not a defeat. It is, in fact, a victory. Would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look this morning at verses 50 through 58. You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, death has been swallowed up in victory. And first of all, our death brings a transformation. That's one of the wonderful things about it. That's verses 50 through 53. And so in verse 50, Paul said, "Now this I say, brethren," and so the Apostle Paul is talking to us believers, "this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." These earthly bodies made of flesh and blood cannot and they will not enter heaven into God's kingdom. Our physical bodies, they're not suited for heaven. They need to be transformed, changed in order to inhabit heaven. We're not going without it. Our present bodies, these bodies of flesh and blood, are also subject to corruption, meaning that they're perishable. They're temporary. They don't last forever. They decay. And all the old said, amen. I thought carefully about wearing short sleeves today because my arms are not what they used to be. I love the wintertime now. Don't look. But our present physical bodies are temporary, but heaven's eternal, incorruptible. So our present bodies cannot inhabit heaven, and our present bodies cannot inhabit eternity. There must be a transformation of our bodies in order that we can go to heaven. We have got to be changed. To the church in Corinth, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction," that's what this life is and its troubles compared to eternity, "which is but for a moment, works for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Light affliction, weight of glory. There's no comparison. "While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal," including these bodies, "but the things which are not seen are eternal." These bodies are temporary. Our new bodies are going to be eternal, praise the Lord. Paul also said in this same chapter, a few verses before this, in verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body sown in corruption." And when we come out corrupt, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. There is, Paul said, a natural body. That's the one we have now. And there is coming a spiritual body, the one that we're going to get. But the life and existence that we now experience is like a seed in the ground. What happens in the ground with that seed is it corrupts, it decays. And when it does, it literally dies. We call it germination. But it brings forth something new and glorious, way better than what that seed was. At the resurrection, we'll be eternal and beautiful, glorified. Then Paul says in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery," something that only God himself could reveal. Here's the mystery: "We shall not all sleep." Not all of us are going to die a physical death, praise the Lord. But we shall all be changed, transformed. And that word transformed is metamorphosis. You've heard it before. It's what happens when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Something ugly turns into something beautiful. They're changed. Every single believer in Jesus Christ is going to be transformed. Our bodies are going to be changed. We will all be given bodies that are glorious, suited for heaven, and suited for eternity. But not all believers are going to die. Those who are alive when Jesus returns will be changed, given brand new bodies without ever dying. And those who die before the rapture are going to be transformed at the rapture along with those who are raptured without dying. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, right? But nobody wants to die to get there. We shall not all sleep, Paul said, but we shall all be changed. And it's going to happen. Look at verse 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. It's the trumpet that's going to be blown to take the church out of here. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead, those believers who have died and gone ahead of us, and whose physical bodies are presently in the grave, will be raised incorruptible, never to decay again, suited for eternity, permanent. And we who are alive when Jesus comes shall be changed, metamorphosized, transformed. These present physical bodies are not going to be the bodies that were taken to heaven with us, but the bodies of all believers are going to be changed. So believers who have died will be changed and then raised at the rapture of the church. Believers who are alive at that time will be changed, never having died. But all of us will be given bodies that are suited for heaven, will be transformed, suited as well for eternity. I love how Paul puts it as he wrote the church in Thessalonica. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Someone said, why? Well, because they've got 6 more feet to go. I don't know. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the Greek word rapture. Together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. But it's going to happen at a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The rapture of the church could literally happen at any moment. That's why we're told to be ready and watching for the Lord's return, because it could happen. And that Greek word for in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, it's the word atomos. It means that which is so small that it can't be divided any further. It's the smallest unit of time possible. It's quicker than a nanosecond. A microsecond is 1 millionth of a second, and a nanosecond is 1,000 times smaller than a microsecond. Science says the twinkling of an eye is 1/6 of a nanosecond. It's not the blinking of an eye. It's the twinkling of an eye. One moment we'll be here going about business, and then the next moment, we're there with the Lord. Are you ready? You see. And there's only one way to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ again, and that's to give your life to him, be born again. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this service. Whether we believers have died and our bodies are presently in the ground, or whether we are alive at the rapture, we're all going to receive brand new and glorified bodies suited for heaven and suited for eternity. Praise the Lord. For this corruptible, verse 33, this temporary body that's subject to decay, it's a tent, let's face it, must put on incorruption, a body that's permanent, never decays. It's eternal. And this mortal, the fact that these bodies die, must put on immortality, never to die again. And I'm so glad that Paul said must. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's going to happen. We have God's word on it. It can't happen otherwise. But our death is not only a transformation, it's also a triumph. We see that in verses 54 through 56. So when? Even that word's important. Not if, when. This corruptible, this body, subject to decay, has put on incorruption, bodies that are not subject to decay. And this mortal, bodies that are subject to death, puts on immortality, not subject to death. In other words, when this great transformation happens at the rapture of the church, which again could happen at any moment, So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And then he quotes the Old Testament scripture just to support and back up, which says death is swallowed up in victory. Literally, it says death is swallowed up forever. And that comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That's quoted, by the way, in the book of Revelation. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's heaven. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. I can't hear you. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. This isn't just wishful thinking. It's in the scriptures. No more dying, no more crying. No more pain or sorrow. It's going to be wonderful. The total destruction of death, that's what we're talking about. And all that death has brought to the human race. Listen carefully. Death has not merely been destroyed so that it can do no further harm, leaving all the harm that's already been done behind. No, all that death has done is going to be erased away forever. Swallowed up in victory. Death and all of its apparent victories are undone for God's children. What looked like a sure victory for death turned out to be a total defeat for death and all of its effects, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death and all that that means is reversed, and now we're going to live in victory forever and ever the way that God meant it before Adam sinned. And so as believers, we don't fear death anymore, but death still affects us, doesn't it? For right now, it still breaks friendships, it ends marriages, it leaves unfinished business, unfinished symphonies in life. It's still an enemy, but it's going to be totally destroyed. And so we win. We win. While sin and death are defeated, thanks to Jesus Christ. And so it's like God and His Word is here taunting death. Look at verse 55. Oh, death, where's your sting? Yeah, what do you really have against us believers now? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, Hades, speaking of the grave, that's where our physical bodies lie. Where's your victory? Yeah, what have you really accomplished as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you see? He's going to destroy not only death and all of its effects, but He's going to destroy the grave and all that is done to us, all the decay. Talk about victory. Just as a bee loses its stinger when it stings, so death lost its sting when it stung Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's done. Where's death's sting? Where's the grave's victory? They're destroyed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. All the harm that death has done is because of sin. That's why we need to understand that. And for right now, God says, you need to be reminded about sin and the effects of it. And so death will reign until the Lord returns for the believer. It's a reminder every day. In fact, death was caused by sin, but it'll be done away with. Paul said, therefore, just as one through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. And then to the church in Rome, Paul also said, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, that is through Jesus Christ. When death plunged its stinger into Jesus Christ, in His death on the cross, it left its stinger there. Jesus Christ bore the entire sting of death for us so that death now has no sting for us. Praise the Lord. Still buzzing around, but it just can't sting us anymore in a way that has any effect. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. And I love what he said after that. He looked at Martha and said, Martha, do you believe this? That's what this is all about. There's coming a day in which our incorruptible spirits will put on new incorruptible bodies. And the strength of the sin is the law. Well, what does that mean? Why sin hurts so much is the law. The law condemns us because we can't keep it. It's constantly there showing us our failure in sin. One translation puts it this way. For sin, the sting that caused death in the first place, will be gone. And the law which reveals our sins will no longer be our judge, constantly condemning us. Won't that be wonderful? We're done with it. Death will be swallowed up in victory. In fact, it's called the last enemy. And the presence of sin will be done away with entirely forever. And so we can stand as believers and laugh at death and the grave. It no longer holds us in its clutches. We no longer need to fear death. It's no longer an enemy for believers, but our servant. It's an instrument through which freedom comes, through which liberation comes, freedom from sin. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's gone. Oh, grave, where is your victory? It's been swallowed up. Wherever there is sin, death can have a fatal blow. But when sin has been dealt with, as in the case of us believers, it can't do us any harm. Death has already killed us once because of our sin. But who did it kill? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But praise God that Jesus conquered death. It couldn't keep him in the grave. You know, they rolled the stone away, not so Jesus could get out, but so people could get in and see he wasn't there. That's the truth. Death tried to do its dirty work on him, but couldn't. He rose from the dead. Amen. I love the little kids who are running around. He's alive. Yeah. Now, if you're not a Christian, you've not been born again, if you haven't turned your life over to Jesus Christ, you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then your sins have not been dealt with yet, though the price has already been paid. You'd be foolish not to say yes to what he provides. You've also given death permission to have a final blow against your life, to do its dirty work. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Because of Jesus Christ, instead of death swallowing us up, it'll be swallowed up instead. What a difference. And so because death brings a transformation, because death brings a triumph for us believers, we need to be thankful. That's verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God. What do we do in light of this? Thank you, God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul at this point can't help himself. Realizing all that Christ has done and what that means for him, he breaks out in thanksgiving, and so should we. Hallelujah, you see. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did nearly 2,000 years ago on that cross, which gives us victory, something we could never do ourselves. We've all been stung with the sting of death in the garden, but Jesus Christ came along and pulled out the stinger of sin and death when he died on the cross. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And if you haven't thought about that, you never get there, going in one direction. I love the prophet Isaiah. He says, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then Paul to the church in Rome said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You mean God doesn't condemn you if you're sin when you come to Christ? No. No, isn't that wonderful? It's a blessing. He settled the sin issue once and for all. Boy, if that doesn't make you jump for joy, what does? My sins are not being held against me. So what? That's liberation. That's freedom. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Paul said, having become a curse for us. He took our curse and our condemnation and gave us victory in their place. Listen to Paul, to the writer of Hebrews. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's us, he himself likewise shared in the same, that's him, so that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Man, he's held death over us, and that's been done away with now. We're no longer in bondage to it. So here's what we've learned about death. It's actually a transformation that's going to suit us for heaven. It's actually a triumph over death and over the grave. And for that, we break out in thanksgiving. How do we then apply these truths to our lives every day? Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, when Paul starts getting lovey-dovey, watch out. Okay? Be steadfast. Quit wavering. Immovable. We are not budging on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and its benefits for us. I'm not backing down on it. They're there. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. On top of the wonderful benefits of death, he says, while you're here, I'll just let you work for some rewards in heaven. Not salvation, but wonderful benefits when you get there. Are you kidding me? And so from this moment, we have the opportunity as well as the ability to do that. If we really believe in and are thankful for the resurrection of our Lord, then we'll get busy. We'll stand up and start believing this by our actions. You know that word, be ye, it's a command. It's a verb. On a continual basis. Steadfast. We're not budging. That word is used in the scriptures of a mountain as well as the throne of God. It's settled in heaven forever. Be ye unmovable. We're not moving. Specifically away from the truths of the resurrection. I talked to one guy and he says, oh yeah, I believe in the resurrection. I also believe in reincarnation. I said, no, they don't go together. I'm not coming back as a butterfly, you know. We have to remain persistent in the truths of the Bible. We're not bending on them. The Spirit of Jesus lives on forever. That's wonderful. But the truth is, he was raised again from the dead in a literal physical body that day. And he showed up in the upper room and said, feel me and see if I'm not real. In fact, you got any bread? I'd like to just show you that this is real. Yeah. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're to do. Abounding is to exceed a fixed measure. Just wear yourself out for Jesus in this life. And we're not talking just a six-month commitment or just when it's convenient, just when it fits into our schedule. We serve the Lord. It's wonderful. Realizing that all was that Christ has done for us, how could we hold back from him? He deserves our very lives, our energies, our efforts, our prayers, our all. So stand fast and get busy. And notice, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, Jesus said, you're not even going to give a cup of cold water to a little child in the name of the Lord and not receive a reward for it. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if giving a cup of cold water to a little child gets you a reward, think what changing a diaper is going to do. Heck, we need help in the nursery. We're yeah. All that we do in this life is going to pass away. Only what we do for the Lord is going to live on. That's the only thing we're taking to heaven, you see. That's the only thing. Because there is life beyond death, because there's life beyond the grave, because there will be a resurrection of our physical bodies, it does matter how we live our lives today. That's the truth. And because that's true, abound in the work of the Lord. To the church in Galatia, Paul said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart." And what I found to be true in my own life is that when I'm not doing the work of the Lord, I'm just getting in trouble. That's the truth. Our belief in the resurrection of the dead and our anticipation of our new bodies, it should have an effect on how we live now. That's what we're talking about. So what are you doing with the rest of your life? That's the question, you see. It was Layman Abbott who said, quote, "I think of death as a glad awakening from this troubled sleep that we call life. It's an emancipation from a world which, beautiful though it may be, is still a land of captivity." This isn't home. In our text here, death is mentioned three times, but after each mention of death, victory's mentioned, and it settles the issue. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that death has been swallowed up in victory. Death takes us from darkness to light, from weakness to strength, from sinfulness to holiness. I so want to please Jesus. And every time I set out to do that, I just don't, in my own strength, have the ability to do that. But someday, no matter what I do, it's going to be lovely. Isn't that wonderful? Death is not a journey into the unknown. That's not even that. It's the way home. We're not going to some strange land. We're going to the Father's house. You know, I love when our grandkids come over. And I kind of get a little kick when mom comes to pick them up. They don't want to go. They want to stay at Papa's house. Because they get whatever they want, boy. They're not stupid, you know. And I want to go to Papa's house. I'm tired of being here, you know. Death is not the last sleep. It's the final awakening. That's the truth. And soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. He's coming, amen? 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul's talking about Jesus. He said, "He's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And the admonition for us who are believers already, it's obvious. Get busy doing what you can while you can. In the things of the Lord. Don't budge on this, okay? But the admonition for the person that's not a believer yet, now's the time. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and all that it means to us. And Lord, we now turn our attention to, because those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, the issue's been settled for us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done, and we've placed our faith and trust in that. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, He has done everything for you. Please understand that we're born in sin, every single one of us. Some of us sin more than others, but we all sin. And we can't save ourselves. It took God becoming human and dying on the cross to deal with sin and death for humanity. And when He rose again from the dead, it proved our justification. And if we believe in that and receive that, what Jesus has done for us, then it's justifications of a word that just simply means it's just as if I never sinned. It's wonderful. It's a gift. It's free. You don't earn it. You don't have to do anything to pay back. It's free. But here's the truth. Our sins brought death upon the entire human race, upon us. Jesus died for those sins so that we don't have to die and live separated from God forever. And if you've never received that, embraced that truth, and received his forgiveness, we talked about forgiveness. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west and never brings them up again. Nothing will stand between you and God. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ this morning and you never have, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become his children. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. While our hearts are bowed before the Lord and our eyes are closed, if you want to receive Jesus, you never have, would you please stand up? Please stand up. Let's stand up for Christ. This is what we're talking about. I hope every one of you is saved. But if there's even one that's not, you're not sure that if Jesus came right now and took the church to be with him, that you would be there with him. You need to stand up. Seal the deal. That's it. He's already done his part. It's a gift. And how foolish it'd be to have a gift sitting right in front of you and not open it. Anyone at all? Oh, there's one over here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is so faithful. You know what? God. Yeah. I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much for this soul that has stood and just said, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And Lord, we know the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul, and they're rejoicing right now. Lord, thank you for that exercise of faith, that action based on a faith and trust in Jesus. It just stood up. We thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for the eternal life that you've given her as a result of that, Lord. Because if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall absolutely be saved. Thank you for that, Lord. May that come flooding into her heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. That's wonderful. Please go talk with somebody after.